So this morning, the title of this morning's message is A Divine Dedication. A Divine Dedication. You can open up your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And we'll not go there immediately, but we will get there. And so that's in preparation. And as you're turning there to 1 Samuel chapter 1, I'm going to pray for our time together. Lord, we praise you for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that we can trust you with our children. We thank you that we can trust you with our very lives, knowing that you are a good father and that you know how to give good gifts, that you can direct us and order our steps and know that each one will be right. Father, we simply ask this morning that you would bless this time. Lord, that as we learn what it is to dedicate our children, Lord, that we understand and learn how it is and what it is to dedicate ourselves to you. Lord, that we would truly entrust ourselves into your care and know what it is to be loved by you. And so, Father, we again commit this time into your hands. Lord, we ask your blessing. Please give us understanding and help us to discern how it is that you want us to apply this truth to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, this morning, a divine dedication. So I looked up the word dedication just to see what Webster's Dictionary, online dictionary, defined it as, how it was described. So Webster's online dictionary says this about dedication. It's a feeling of very strong support for or loyalty to someone or something. It's the quality or state of being dedicated to a person, a group, a cause. It's completely undergirding, coming alongside, supporting a person, a cause, or a group. Secondly, a message at the beginning of a book, that's what a dedication could be. It's a message at the beginning of a book. We've all read books, right? At least most of us have. But it's a message at the beginning of a book, a song, or something else, saying that it was written or is being performed in order to honor or express affection for someone. Normally in a book, it's where people who have been instrumental and the gathering of information or the reason, the conclusion, which is this book of a relationship that the author has had with a certain person or a group of people. Sometimes it's giving thanks to mom and dad or to people who have been instrumental in raising you. So you're dedicating a book or a song in that manner. A dedication is also the act of officially saying that something, such as a new building, we did a building dedication a few years ago, was created for a particular purpose. Well, such as this, to worship, or to remember or honor a particular person. So, in the case of this morning, we are dedicating Maddie to the Lord for a specific purpose, to worship God in that dedication, in that setting aside of this little life unto the Lord, and that her life would honor and it would be one of worship to the Lord. Dedication is an act or a rite of dedicating to a divine being or to a sacred use. That is still in the dictionary. That is wonderful. That is still there. Also, and fifthly, is self-sacrificing, a self-sacrificing devotion. So, self-sacrificing isn't something that the American people use in their everyday language. Self-sacrificing. It's just self-sacrificing. I want to sacrifice everything else for my pleasure and for my well-being. But for me to self-sacrifice, well, that is actually part of the definition of devotion, of giving something, of honoring, of undergirding, supporting, and of giving, like I said, honor to something or someone else. Now, this whole morning is, of course, about dedicating our children, right? So we also need to understand what a baby dedication is not. That is very important to understand what it is, but it's equally important to understand what it is not. It is not, number one, the initial act of membership into a church. Whether Maddie was dedicated or not officially in front of a church, does not give her access as an official member of this church at all. So we know that it is not the initial act of membership into a church. We need to understand what being a part of the church is, but it definitely isn't that. Secondly, it is not an act that ensures divine covering of protection from God. In other words, had Maddie not been dedicated, and God forbid, but something happened to Maddie, she'd be fine. She'd be in the Lord's care. Our children, the Lord brings close to them. And their innocence is something that he takes into consideration. He is a fair and just God, right? And so it's not that because of the baby dedication that all of a sudden we impart upon that child this church-unique protection of that child. It doesn't work that way. It's divine because of what the Father, how he protects the child and the heart and the soul, the spirit of a child. Now, it's also not an act of salvation. Okay, it's not an act of salvation, and I'll just put a period after that one. Number four, it is not for non-Christian parents. And I'll explain why. As we go through, this is a baby dedication is not for a couple or for a mom or a dad that are not Christians. And the reason why is because you are dedicating this child to the Lord, someone who you don't even know, who you don't even follow. And you are not committing, nor are you devoting, nor are you going to be self-sacrificing. You're not going to undergird. You're not going to support. You're not going to do any of those things if you are not a Christ follower already. So the only way you can sincerely dedicate a child to the Lord is if you yourself are a Christ follower, a Christian. What a baby dedication is. It is a parent's statement dedicating themselves to raising their child according to the teaching, authority, governance, and truth that is found in the Bible. No extra biblical areas or books that anyone has written will supersede what the Bible says, what it teaches, the authority of the Word of God. Nothing. A baby dedication is a parent's declaration of loyalty to Christian fellowship. It's a declaration. I declare that I am dedicating my child to the Lord. And I'll give you examples, scriptural examples of that. Okay? I am declaring my loyalty to Christian fellowship. If you're going to train up your child in the way he or she should go, that means that you yourself are following the Word of God. And the word says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves as is the manner of some, but do so even more so, more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. You yourself are declaring a loyalty to Jesus Christ. And in that, you are saying, I am loyal to his authority, to his governance. I'm loyal to his word. And so therefore, I will be loyal to Christian fellowship, to coming together, to raising my child in this environment. A baby dedication is a parent's proclamation that their child or children were born for the sole purpose of worshiping God with their lives. You know that? our whole purpose is to bring glory to God. So you're saying, I acknowledge that. I acknowledge that. And I acknowledge that in the life of my child. That my child was given to me to be a good steward of this little life. And the whole purpose of my child is not to bring me glory, but to bring God glory. Sometimes as parents, we make the mistake of living our glory days are long and gone, right? And so we start living through our children, and so we allow them to bring us glory, we hope. That's not the point, though. The point of raising our little children into grown adults is that they always bring glory to God first. They'll honor you. They'll honor. If that is your goal, if that is what you're raising them up to do, to be, then I promise you, as parents, they will bring you honor. They will not shame you. They may make mistakes, but they will bring you glory. You know, and that's fading glory compared to the glory that they're giving to our God. A baby dedication is a parent's commitment to a self-sacrificing devotion to maintaining their relationship to God. That's what we're saying as parents. I'm devoting my life to first follow the Lord and allowing my kids to follow that example. That is the best thing you can do for your kids. It's not taking them to church and dropping them off. Although that's good. I mean, if you at least start there, right, then okay. That's not the best thing you can do for your kids. The best thing that you can do for your kids is for you yourself to continue to get up. When life knocks you down, you continue to get up and continue to follow the Lord as you have committed to and said you were going to do. That is the best thing that you can do for your kids. It's like, Dad's not perfect, but he sure loves God. Mom's not perfect, but she sure loves Jesus. And although I see my parents at their worst and at their best, they just keep going. That's the best example that you can show your kids. So is this a baby dedication or is it a parent dedication? That's a good question, right? It is a conscientious dedication and commitment to follow Christ as parents and a conscientious dedication and commitment to teach and raise our kids according to Scripture. I've already said it, to follow Christ. How do you follow Christ? Really, we complicate it. We also justify why we don't. But it's really, folks, it's really simple. It really is. It really is. It's like, you remember when your parents would tell you something? And, or for those of you who played sports, your coach, you know. And sometimes we wouldn't be so obedient, right? And what would they tell you? Oh, just do what I told you to do. Just do what I told you to do. But, you know, our kids, you know, we did that too. But, right? And we delay and we just don't do what we've been told to do. It, quite simply put, to follow Christ, to know Christ, to understand His will for our lives is, I've said it over and over again, right? And I think I say it every Sunday, open up the Word. Open up the Word, follow Christ closely. It is absolutely amazing to open up God's Word and understand that we are so dumb. Just when we think we're really smart, right? Open up the Word and just fall in love with the God who created you and understand that His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. As it says in Isaiah, And I'm so glad in that as we learn who he is and what he desires for us, right? In Jeremiah 29:11, many of you love that verse, right? For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, give you a future and a hope. Yes, but you got to know that future and hope. You got to know the word of God. You got to understand his love for you in order for you to fall in close. You know that when you read the word of God and you go through and scripture just starts jumping out at you. Like for instance, I'm reading through the Bible. And in Isaiah, I was reading through. And Isaiah chapter 40. Towards the end of that chapter, one of my favorite sections of scripture says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. He's not like you and I. He doesn't faint. He doesn't grow weary. Doesn't get tired. Doesn't take a nap. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. You feeling faint? You feeling a little weak? You seek him, draw near to him, he'll give you power. I say that without one ounce of doubt. I have experienced that this week. When I felt weak, I draw near to the Lord and he gives you power. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And who does not need to hear that? Did you need to hear that this week? This morning? You know, you can hear that for yourself. And this is what being a Christ follower is. It's being a student of the word. Understanding, knowing the word. In fact, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit, one of his jobs is to give us an understanding of the word. So don't get frustrated if you don't understand it. Just keep asking. Keep praying. James 1 says, if you don't have wisdom, ask for it. But don't doubt. You'll receive it. Ask by faith. How is it? Very simply put, open up the word of God. Pray. Seek the Lord. Be in fellowship. That's what being a Christ follower is, and that is a great example for your kids. For those of you who do not have kids, that's a great lifestyle, if you want to call it a lifestyle, but it's actually you're being in Christ as you do it. It's a great habit. It's a great life that God calls you to, that you can bring along to when you do get married and you just continue that. As parents, you are acknowledging and assuming a stewardship of your children and committing to actively and purposefully fulfilling your responsibility to raise the children in the ways of the Lord. Stewardship. Now, we don't own our kids. Sometimes we feel and we express to them that we have complete ownership of them. And since we gave them life, we can also take it. You know, sometimes you can feel that way as a parent. But no, we're not, we don't have ownership of our kids. Okay, we are stewards of our kids. Of our children. In other words, they're on loan to us. We've been blessed with caring for a creation of the Almighty, and so we are to take good care of them according to the owner's manual. Not our philosophy, not our experience, not any of that. It's according to the owner's manual. If you want to mess something up, just start trying to fix something, according to your own ways. Okay? Your engine goes bad, something happens with your car. Don't worry about the owner's manual. The manufacturer absolutely knows nothing about what they made. Okay? Just start tinkering with it. Pull this wire, connect that over there. Start doing that and see what happens. Listen, our children did. Contrary to popular belief, they did come with owner's manuals. It's right here. I've heard it said, oh, they didn't come with owner's manuals. Yeah, they did, actually. They did. Just know what the Word of God says, and you'll understand what the owner wants you to do in specific areas of their lives so that they can be well. Does that make sense? They do have owner's manuals. It's called the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And so we need to look it up. Why? Because we are not the owners. We are not the manufacturers. We did not create them. Ladies, you simply carried this child. And unfortunately, you had to endure the pain of having this child. Right? And as parents, you endure sometimes the pain of raising them. But we are stewards of these children. And we are committing to actively and purposefully fulfilling our responsibility to raise them in the ways of the Lord. Our responsibility is very simple and yet the most difficult of tasks. By the way, it's not conditional, but consistent. It needs to be consistent. Proverbs 22:6 says, as we are to be teachers, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. How? Well, Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Train by way of word, thought, and deed. Well, what about those kids that go astray? Well, there's choices. We get to a time when our kids make their own choices. And they can go astray. Otherwise, there wouldn't be the story of the prodigal, right? They go astray. Those who make their own choices, there's Cain and Abel, there's Joshua and his brothers, there's Jacob and Esau, all examples. Parental negligence, the example of that can be seen in Lot in Genesis 19 and 20. The problem with that is that his kids were laughing at him when he was finally trying to remove them from Las Vegas. That's basically what it was. Just laughed at him, like, really? You actually were a part of this whole thing and brought us here, and now you want us to leave? Parental negligence. But be courageous and don't compromise. Jot down in your notes Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. I'm going to read to you. And this was at the end. This was at the end after Joshua had taken care of business in the promised land. He said this, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that are your fathers, that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, if you go back to chapter 1, this is the commissioning of Joshua. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, and you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. My point is this. Joshua did that. I don't see anywhere from Joshua 1 to Joshua 24 where Joshua forsook God for the sake of his family. And please understand what I'm telling you here. God has commissioned you to something, to fulfill something, to gain ground. And everywhere where God has willed for you to go, parents, okay, don't use your family as a vice or justification for you to not do what God's called you to do. In fact, do so even more. And I'll tell you what, they'll look at it, they'll look at you, and they'll understand what it is to follow the Lord. Because at the end of it all, Joshua conquered. He led. He was an awesome commander in chief. And he went through and conquered the land. And it wasn't until the end where he was bringing everything together. And he says, hey, listen, we've gone through. We've done all of this. Great. You need to choose today whom you are going to follow. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Period. That's it. Brothers, sisters, do not use your family as justification for your laziness. To do only what you want to do. And then blaming it on God as to why you're not active in what the Lord has for you within the church. If you doubt that he's called you to something, check out Ephesians chapter 4. We can go through 1 Corinthians. We can go through various passages that point to the fact that each and every one of you, as you're committed followers of Christ, to also be active in the body of Christ. We are a body, aren't we? That's what Scripture tells us. No? I know some of it's like, isn't this a baby dedication? It should be like all like fun and laughter, and it is. In the end, God is enjoying and being glorified if with the truth you follow through and honor him. And then let's go to 1 Samuel. And I'm going to read through this chapter, and I'm just going to make a few points. And that's why I had you go there. So 1 Samuel chapter 1, there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zoph, an Ephrathite, who had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On that day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep and why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? Husbands, never say that to your wives. There's much there, but we're going to go on for the sake of it's the whole point is dedication, right? So let's continue. That's to give an understanding of where we are here in the story. After that, verse 9, after they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, No, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. Then Eli answered, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. And she said, Let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. There's faith, right? There's faith. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. And here we go. Verse 21, the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word. So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. And she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed. And the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. I just want to point out a few things in that story. Number one, be committed to God's word. Verse 23, what an awesome husband. Told her, Listen, do what you need to do with the child. Wean him. Raise him up. But what's most important is this. Only may the Lord establish his word. May the Lord's word be brought to fruition in the life of my child. That's it. Number one. May the word of the Lord take effect in the life of my child. That's all I want. As a father, that's all I want. As fathers, I pray that that's all you want for your children. That the word of God would be established, would be fulfilled, would be walked out, lived out in the life of our children. Secondly, be a people of action. Verse 24, and when she had weaned him, she took him up. She took him up with her. She acted on what she had promised, on what she committed to, she was devoted to. She acted on it. She took her child and took him up. And that's the only way you could go when you take a child to God, is up, not down. When you're going away from God, you're taking your child down. You're taking your child up when you're drawing near to God and bringing your family to God. You're going up. You're not going down. You're lifting them up to a place where they need to be. But it's being people of action, not lethargic, not lazy, not inactivity, but activity, moving on what you say and who you say you are as a Christian. Thirdly, be thankful. Verse 27, for this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. She is giving honor. She is giving glory. She is being thankful for what the Lord has given her. I'm truly thankful. And I acknowledge that it wasn't my own doing. It wasn't because I was so good and I gave money to charities and I just did all of these wonderful things. And so, of course, I would be blessed. And, of course, this would come my direction. No. Even on our best day, our righteousness is like filthy garments before a righteous God. But she was honoring, she was acknowledging, she was being thankful to the Lord. And she said, for this child I prayed. She prayed, she sought the Lord. And the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. She was being thankful to the Lord. Fourthly, be worshipful. Verses 24 through 28. Shows that this lady, right? She brought this child. Not only did she bring this weaned child with her, right? But she brought along a 3-year-old bull. Ladies, can you imagine that? My husband he's there, so I'm going to go meet him. I'm going to bring this bull, and I'm going to bring all kinds of other items, you know, to go worship the Lord. Ladies, sometimes it's a sacrifice. Sometimes it's an inconvenience. Sometimes you'll feel that you're all alone. But that doesn't excuse you either from worshiping the Lord. Your husband wants to stay home? That's okay. You can bring your 3-year-old bull. You can bring your child. You can bring everything that you're going to worship the Lord with. Get there. That's what the Lord's calling you to do. To be responsible for your own actions, to be accountable to the Lord, and to come and worship him. So she was worshipful. She was coming to sacrifice. It was an inconvenience, of course. I mean, here's my kid. You know, how many of you, Adriana's teething, right? Yeah? I mean, we have kids that, oh, man, we understand that as parents, right? What it is to be one and two and, you know, the age to where they start walking and all of a sudden their name changes from, you know, Isaiah to Noah, right? So it involves all of that and much more, a sacrifice. Remember the definition of devotion? Self-sacrificing. It's self-sacrificing. But it's a heart filled with joy, filled with thankfulness to the Lord. And we come and we worship God with everything we have. The other thing we need to do is entrust them to the Lord. Sometimes we can get good at everything else. But when something happens, we try and intervene in the lives of our children. We have adult children too. We have a 25-year-old. We have an 18-year-old. We have a 15 and we have a 9. Okay? So I understand what it is as parents to try and intervene in their lives, when really we should be entrusting them to the Lord and leaving it there. And knowing that God is faithful, that his word does not return void. That we should exercise patience and just know, Lord God, creator of the universe, I know that you're going to do something there. I'm going to get up. My face will no longer show that I am downcast. I will eat something. I will not express to everyone around me that I have absolutely no faith in you? Is my heart broken because my child has gone away and gone the way of the world? Absolutely. But I will not stop from worshiping you. I will not stop giving you thanks. I will not stop trusting you. I will continue to go. I will continue to get up. I will continue to go to you and draw near to you. So we need to entrust our kids to the Lord. That's sometimes the most difficult thing to do. But then comes young Samuel. For the last portion, the last sentence of this chapter says, and he worshiped the Lord there. There. He was set apart for the Lord. He was given to the Lord. Do you think Hannah didn't see young Samuel? She saw him. She came. She was there too. But he was given to the Lord and left there, and he worshiped the Lord there. I pray that as I leave my kids at the altar, that's where they stay. That's where they worship the Lord. Not in the world, that they are worshiping the Lord here in the church. They're in the world, but they're not of the world. But they learn how to self-sacrifice. They understand what it is to carry their cross. They understand what it is to esteem others more than themselves. They understand what it means to glorify God with everything. The side benefit is that they get to lead some people to the Lord, that they get to honor them, honor Him in their workplace, wherever that may be, and I don't really care what it is. They can be janitors in a school, or they can be physicians, or they can be president of the United States. I don't really care. To me, I believe that the person who is honoring the Lord, a child who is honoring the Lord, is right where God wants them to be. And that is what I want for my children. That they honor the Lord right there, right here. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I appeal to you therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So in closing, it's this. If you're here this morning, if you don't understand the love that a parent has for a child, if you're not a parent, if you are a parent, you understand that relationship. You understand that your heart is just there with your kids. And our love is imperfect. I hope you understand what it is to fully dedicate our children, what it is to fully dedicate yourself to the Lord. And that it is each and every one of us, as God's drawing us into Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, giving us the opportunity, the ability to be forgiven of our sins, past, present, and future, and have the certain hope of being in God's glory forever. That's God's love, by the way. That you too would worship the Lord there. Right there. Do you know God's love this morning? If you don't know it, oh man, He forgives you of all of your sins. He takes that burden off your shoulders, off of your life. He lightens your load. His yoke is easy. He's not like this king that lords it over you. He brings you gently along. He meets you right where you're at in your failures and in your successes, everything. He meets you right there. But the number one thing right now is for you to understand salvation. A relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? How do you do that? You ask for forgiveness for your sins. You repent of your sins. That means turning away from them and running towards righteousness, Christ, the Word of God. And ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord, your Savior. That's it. And if you pray that, and if you mean it sincerely, then the Lord says, the Bible says, you shall be saved. That's the number one thing. For parents, let's get it straight. Let's be committed. Let's be devoted. Honor God in that way. As children, and I'm a child too, right? We are to honor our parents by honoring the Lord. But we can't perfectly and wholly honor the Lord if we don't know Him. Even parents that have failed miserably. Okay? You can forgive them. I have forgiven. But that was only possible because of the Lord, my relationship with Him. And I love my dad. I love him. But again, it was only because of my relationship with the Lord. 3 John 1:4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us the way you do. Father, we thank you that you love to watch us walk in your ways. You love to guide us in the truth, lead us in the truth, pick us up in the truth. We thank you, Lord, that sometimes it doesn't feel so good, but we know that correction comes to those from you whom you love. We thank you, Lord, that we can commit to you. We can dedicate ourselves to you. We can dedicate our children to you and trust you fully, completely. And so we praise you. We thank you for your love. I ask, Lord, that you would give your children here, all of us, strength, that you would fill us with your Spirit. And Lord, that this would truly be a house of worship. And that as we get refueled here, we get re-energized, we stir each other up to good works, as your word says, that we go out and impact this world for your kingdom. Lord, that we would tell others of your love. That we would tell others of our dedication to you by the way we live our lives. That you would be honored. And so, Father, I thank you for this time again. We commit. We ask for your forgiveness. And, Lord, we are at your mercy. And we are thankful that we're at your mercy, not anyone else's. We thank you that we fall under your grace for salvation. And we thank you for being our God, for being our King, our Prince of Peace. We thank you for being our Savior. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.